Good morning. You're listening to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, it's the first Friday in June, so we'll bring you Nature's Almanac. Then we'll hear more voices from this week's marches and vigils that took place in Denver to honour George Floyd and to demand police accountability. We'll hear then about a campout that's been going on outside of the Immigration Detention Centre in Aurora to raise awareness about the coronavirus infections amongst immigrants that are being detained. Then we'll round out this morning's magazine with the latest Trends Diary. That's a collaboration with the Community Foundation of Boulder County. And today we'll hear from a local musician who's using the extra time he has due to gigs being cancelled because of the coronavirus to help others. Kathy is in then for Connections at 8:30. Her guest today is Adam Lowenstein, who is the author of Reframe the Day, Embracing the Craft of Life One Day at a Time. As always, your calls will be welcome. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Several hundred people gathered in downtown Denver on Thursday morning for a memorial service for George Floyd. Congressman Joe Neguse joined Denver Mayor Michael Hancock and other elected officials for the service, which concluded with a tree being planted in honor of Floyd, who died at the hands of Minneapolis police on Memorial Day. Neguse, who represents Colorado's 2nd Congressional District, said he wept when he saw the video of George Floyd's murder.
I wept at the brutality, at the loss of life, at another young black man gone far, far too soon. And so I say to you, I know and understand the anguish and the pain and the fear, and it is up to us now in this moment to channel those feelings into action, to channel them into legislative solutions, because George Floyd was not the first to die, but together we can make sure that he is the last. I will tell you that the Congressional Black Caucus hears you, the Judiciary Committee on which I serve hears you, the United States Congress hears you, and in the coming days and weeks, we will enact bold, comprehensive, systemic reforms to make sure that this type of violence does not happen again.
In the afternoon, young people led the proceedings and spoke to the crowd about their own experiences of racism before leading marchers peacefully through downtown Denver for the 8th consecutive night. About 1,000 people joined the march in a procession from the Auraria campus. Phil Weiser, the state's attorney general, participated. He spoke about how his office oversees the training, the certification, and the removal of police who don't follow rules.
And we're committed to strengthening and using that authority to build a law enforcement that is worthy of our trust.
The police presence last night was much more low-key. Officers were seen blocking streets for protesters and following alongside on bicycles. Four Denver residents filed a lawsuit against the city on Thursday, demanding that police be barred from using tear gas and other non-lethal weapons against people participating in the protests. The Denver Post reports that the class action suit alleges that the use of tear gas and pepper ball projectiles against crowds was done, quote, without regard to the constitutional rights of protesters and bystanders, end quote. The plaintiffs are asking a Denver District Court judge to impose an injunction banning the weapons use immediately. Denver Police Chief Paul Pazin announced on Thursday that he has launched an internal investigation into an incident that was caught on video of police firing pepper balls at a car in downtown Denver on May 29th. A video has been widely shared on social media showing the driver standing beside his car and shouting that his pregnant girlfriend was inside. The video was recorded during the second night of the protests. Governor Jared Polis announced new regulations as the state reopens even more facilities during the COVID-19 pandemic. Steve Miller has more.
Governor Jared Polis announced Thursday that Colorado businesses can reopen at reduced capacities and that businesses can also now refuse service to the unmasked. The Denver Post reports that the state's new guidance documents are similar to drafts issued earlier this week with some changes. Churches, synagogues, and mosques along with outdoor swimming pools, can reopen to 50% capacity or up to 50 people, whichever is fewer. In opening all indoor sports facilities like gyms, fitness classes, and rec centers, the new guidance allows them to operate at up to 25% capacity or 50 people per room, whichever number is fewer. Playgrounds at parks can reopen to up to 10 people at a time. The governor also discussed the possibility of allowing some visitors to nursing homes, announced $44 million in federal funds will go toward high-need schools, and showed support for demonstrations against racism and police brutality, but was concerned the protests will lead to a surge in COVID-19 cases. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
U.S. Senate candidate and former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper has been held in contempt by the Colorado Independent Ethics Commission after he didn't appear on Thursday at a mandatory hearing. Hickenlooper refused to comply with a subpoena on Thursday morning. He also refused to comply after the Colorado Attorney General's office ordered him to appear. Hickenlooper was scheduled to testify via video conferencing before the state's Independent Ethics Commission about his alleged violations of Colorado's gift ban. He's accused of violating the Colorado Constitution's ban on gifts when he accepted private jet flights from wealthy friends and businesses while he was serving as governor. He said he feels that he is innocent, and he accuses the Public Trust Institute of playing politics with Colorado ethics laws. In today's weather, expect highs in the low 90s with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Similar temperatures and conditions on Saturday and Sunday before temperatures cool off slightly at the start of next week.
It's June. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder County naturalist Steve Jones and Scott Siebers.
We're at the East Boulder Community Park wetland. It's dawn here. You can hear all the marsh sounds. We've come here to look for winnowing snipe.
If you've ever wanted to see a snipe, this might be the time, because the males, any wood fence post along a marsh, you can often see them sitting.
They also pose on muskrat huts.
Oh.
You'll see these little mounds of cattails in the cattail marsh.
Sniper, a chunky, roundish shorebird with an incredibly long bill. They're colored in browns, black, and tan in a very camouflaged pattern. And if they're on the ground, they disappear.
I assume the term snipe hunt comes from when people were out shooting them in England, and the difficulty of actually finding the birds on the ground.
Yeah.
That was a teenage ritual to go out on the snipe hunt, which was a hunt for nothing. And
it was
to trick some kid into thinking you were going to find something.
Many times when I've spoken to those kids in their adult form, they're like, we were watching some snipe, and they look at me like I was telling them a joke.
Yeah. I think the name comes from the call they make on the ground, sort of a snipe, snipe, snipe call.
Yeah.
What we really want to hear is the winnowing sound they make. It describes the sound that displaying males make when they fly way up in the air, dive, the air rushes through their tail feathers,
yeah,
and make this sort of woo 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 sound.
That sound is actually these two modified tail feathers on either side of the tail, vibrating as the wind goes through them to produce the sound.
It was what stimulated the Plains Indian ululation that was used as a celebratory sound or sometimes in warfare. It's quite eerie when you hear it early in the morning and at night. So let's walk around and see if we can get a little closer.
Sure. Snipe have this incredible bill, several times the length of their skull. They can probe down in the mud of a marsh and reach earthworms or other invertebrates and slurp them up without opening their bill, because the tip of their bill is very flexible and they can open that tip. There's one calling, chip, 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 chip.
When they are winnowing, it takes a while to locate them up in the sky, but you can certainly hear them. And having said that, I think he's getting warmed up.
Yeah.
Ready to take to the air.
It is almost like they have to warm up to go
to take off.
Before they take off.
Yeah.
Here he goes. He just flew up out of the marsh, flopped his wings, but he isn't really airborne yet. There's usually a second snipe territory in this next segment, so let's go over there.
Sure.
Well, we've heard a lot of sniping from in the marsh, and we've seen the birds rise up and flutter, but no aerial displays this morning. We're going to ask Shelley to dub in a sound of a winnowing snipe so you all know what it sounds like. And if you're out hiking in the evening or morning, just listen for that sound and you'll hear it eventually if you're in a wetland area.
Steve Jones and Scott Sievers are friends and Boulder naturalists.
For the last 13 days, 26 people have been camping outside of the GO Detention Centre in Aurora. They're requesting the release of the detainees because of the outbreak of the coronavirus in the facility. Rosanna Longo has talked with one volunteer who's with the group Abolish ICE and with the wife of a detainee who has been camping with their six-year-old daughter outside of the GO Detention Centre in Aurora.
I'm Issa Villalone, and I'm with Abolish ICE. We right now have set up an encampment outside of the GEO ICE Processing Center. Today is day 11. We're sitting outside. I'm here right now with an impacted family member, Keisha Davalos, whose husband is currently being held in detention. And as we sit here, we just witnessed a bus pass by with detainees that are set to be brought to DIA for deportation. In Guatemala right now, one out of every five cases of COVID-19 has been deported into the country. So we're extremely concerned about deportation of detainees in this moment when we know that there is a mass outbreak going on in the detention center. And we're also concerned for the health and safety of those that are being detained right now currently.
What's the purpose of camping outside the GEO ICE Detention Center?
We started camping 2 days after the Tri-County Health Department announced that there were two confirmed cases inside of the GEO Detention Center. But we've known for far longer than that, that there was going to be or already were cases inside of the detention center. It's really just a coronavirus incubator in there. People can't social distance. At one point, there were eight people being held to a cell at a time. We set up camp 2 days after that those two cases were confirmed. We're planning to stay until the detention center releases all of the migrants that are being held. The ICE detention center and prisons, there's a lot of parallels you can draw between those two, between ICE and between police departments all over the country. Both are institutions of the state that have inflicted violence on communities of color nationwide and continue to do so and continue to imprison people and mass incarcerate people in for-profit detention centers. GEO Group is a for-profit company, and ICE is also an institution that has brutalized people of color for a very, very long time. So I think that the movement to abolish ICE and the movement for Black Lives Matter, there's a lot of similarities and a lot of parallels you can draw between the two. And one is just a different manifestation of the other, which is state violence inflicted against Black and brown communities in the United States.
We just heard from Issa Villalone from Abolish ICE. She has been camping outside the GEO ICE Processing Center in Aurora and is telling us about the situation over there.
This is why we must fight! This is why we must fight!
Is Keisha Davalos with you still?
Yes, she is.
Will she like to say something?
Hello?
Is this Keisha Davalos?
Yes, this is she. I am staying here at a campsite because not also that my husband is detained in the GEO in Aurora, and also to free the other detainees that are in there.
How many days have you been camping?
Will be my 11th day camping here.
Are you camping alone or with somebody else from your family?
I am camping with my daughter and also with my mother.
How old is your daughter and how old is your mom?
She is 6 years old and my mom is 50.
How are the conditions out there camping? How can people help you?
The only thing that we're asking and that I'm asking, you're not able to camp with us, to please come to our vigil at 8 and show us some support there. And the more people we get, the stronger that we are to stand by the GEO Detention Center. And also, if you guys have any donations, you guys could bring water or just supplies that you guys think that will be good for us.
Keisha Davalos from the GEO ICE Processing Center in Aurora, outside where she is camping. You're camping with your daughter. She's only 6 years old. How is she doing?
She's not doing well without her father. She is suffering tremendously, missing her dad. She feels happy to be a little bit closer to her dad as well.
Keisha Davalos, I hope there's some support for you guys and that you keep strong. What can people do to support you guys?
So every night at 8 p.m. we have a vigil. We strongly encourage anybody that can't camp with us to come to the vigil. And you can camp with us. We need more bodies. We're stronger in numbers. And in order to pressure GEO to release the detainees that are inside of the detention center, we need to pressure them with more and more people.
That was Isa Villalon. She's an activist from Abolish ICE in Denver, and she has been camping outside the GEO ICE Processing Center in Aurora, where there has been cases of detainees confirmed with COVID-19. Isa Villalon, yeah, with Abolish ICE. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
Thursday marked the 8th night of marching through downtown Denver, calling for an end to police brutality in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. The last few nights have seen much quieter protests. On Wednesday evening, January Jones caught up with one Denver woman, Shay, who was there with her 11-year-old son. She spoke about why they were showing up to march.
Okay, but what's your sign say and why did you want to make it? Why are these words so important to you?
What's your sign say?
My sign says I'm black and I'm proud and I need a future.
Black lives matter. Your life matters and you deserve a better life.
So you wrote those future. You wrote those words, right?
Yes.
What's that mean to you to write those words and show them to other people?
It means that I should have a future and my entire life, and I shouldn't get stopped by someone that's not a police officer. And if there is a police officer, I shouldn't
be scared.
I shouldn't be scared for my life because I'm black and I'm proud.
So you're black and you're proud, but your mom had to teach you how to protect yourself, didn't she? Because she knows how things go down.
You know what? Let me say this. When Trayvon Martin happened, my son was 3, and I was heartbroken. And now I realize that heartbreak has manifested into fear. My son is 11, and we still haven't fixed this problem yet. My son will be a teenager here in a couple of years. I can't keep him in the house or keep him sheltered. He's going to want to be independent and be free, and he deserves that. But what I don't deserve is wondering if my son is going to come home every night. And what I don't deserve is that this problem still isn't fixed. So I'm scared to death. I already wonder if what's gonna happen to my son. I'm already scared for my son. This is my one and only child. He's not replaceable and he's not disposable. Nobody is. Nobody.
Nobody.
And so not only do we have to stop racism for black people, because I'm black, but we have to stop racism altogether for our Asian community, our Muslim community, and especially our Hispanic community, because Lord knows what this administration has put them through, has put all of us through. And that's what we have to, that's what I have to say. It has to stop. And we have to stop being oppressed by this f***ing government. And you know what? Another thing is I shouldn't have to sit down and explain to my son how to interact with the police. And now, if I sit down and explain how to interact with the police, does it even f***ing matter? He could still end up dead, even if he's polite.
He could say, yes, officer. He could put his hands down.
Become
he
a total slave. And he'll still end up dead. So we need to go in. We need to fix those problems. We need to emphasize de-escalation. And if officers are patrolling our neighborhoods, we need to at least know them by their first name.
Yes.
So we can start building the relationship and rapport. So that if they do encounter one of our children or one of our brothers and sisters, they're not fearing for their lives because at least they may know them. My name is Shay. And this is my son Zane, and he's 11. And I brought him out here today because if he don't fight for his own future, nobody will. And he needs to know what's going on. And I keep my son up to date on current events and everything that's going on in this world. Let him know it ain't all sweet. Absolutely. Just educated my son the other day on Trayvon Martin. And I let him know he could be Trayvon. He could be on his way to 7-Eleven for an Arizona tea and some Skittles. And Trayvon was harassed. It's a horror story what happened to Trayvon Martin. Even if you're white and you stand with us, they're against you too. But believe me, it's more of us than it is of them. So we gotta stick together and we gotta keep fighting. Fighting for your children's future, fighting for our own future.
Some of the voices from this week's marches that have been taking place in Denver. January Jones brought us that report from Wednesday night. You can find all of our coverage from the protests that have been taking place in Denver and in other Colorado cities online at news.kgnu.org. It's time now for Trends Diary.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Dear Trends Diary, my name is Nick Dunbar, local realtor, musician, yoga teacher, wannabe farmer. I'm here to share my story with you, a welcome distraction. I am a musician with 300 Days Band. Due to COVID-19, my gigs have been canceled and the record I was recording in April has been postponed. I wanted to find a community I could service and give myself a reprieve from the chaos. Knowing this was intensely affecting the elderly, I reached out to a friend who works at Fraser Meadows and began brainstorming. I have played there in the past. I suggested setting up in a central space where I could crank the PA system and patrons could open their windows and tune in. Their safety, obviously, was a primary concern. The first time I played, I could feel myself welling up. They were sitting there tapping their toes and their fingers, totally clued in. I kept looking over at my friend, who was emotional too. My wife took care of her mother, who had dementia. Their family was very into acoustic music, and I could feel the joy it was bringing to her as well. This was serving and moving the staff too. They wrote me a beautiful card thanking me for the welcome distraction. I played there again to the general population, some of who had been to my shows. I played at the Academy on the Hill with my buddy Andy Mann. It's something I can do that's easy. You just have to be creative. When you shift perspective and realize that serving your community in turn serves oneself, then these acts of kindness and selflessness can be so much more powerful and unifying. Don't operate from a place of fear, but one of strength, courage, and community. As much as fear and anger are contagious, so is hope and peace. Kindness is infectious, and that's what we need right now. I'll play a song for you, happy song. Gonna build a little cabin, gonna live out in the woods. Well, if anybody should need it, well, they won't know where to look. Their homie retires to his hot tub, so well, keep me fine, slugging wine, knowing he ain't broke, he ain't broke, he ain't broke, he ain't broke, he ain't broke. Got a bottle of that cheap red wine, couple of nugs of that sticky kind, big old jug of that mountain shiny ain't broke. Well, we talk about the good times, just live on through the bad. Well, we never found a reason to give up on what we had. Well, if things got rough, times got tough, we had to run and joke. Well, he'd be fine, sip and shine, knowing he ain't broke. He ain't broke, he ain't broke, he ain't broke, he ain't broke. He ain't broke. Got a bottle of that cheap red wine, couple of nugs of that stinky kind, big old jug of that mountain shiny ain't broke.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.
That doggy's name was Tex. Well, they lit by fire. Then he's in the wishing well for all the things he fired.
Thanks for listening to The Morning Magazine here at KGNU.